This is BBC Radio 3. It's 9:30 now, and time for Proms Inspire, recorded last Saturday at the Royal College of Music in London. Here's Andrew McGregor.
What is Proms Inspire? Well, it's an environment in which budding young composers can share ideas, they can try new stuff, they can work with professional musicians, and of course meet other composers. And it comes to a climax in a day of workshops and a winner's concert here at the Royal College of Music. Prokofiev's Romeo and Juliet is in the second half of the prom this evening, given by the National Youth Orchestra of Great Britain, and the influence of that work has been felt throughout the workshops here in the college, as I'm sure we'll be hearing. Now, across the year, there have been composer labs in five cities around the UK, and hundreds of 12 to 18-year-olds have been sending in their compositions since January this year, and a judging panel's been choosing the best of them. We're going to hear the three winning pieces performed by musicians from the Aurora Orchestra, conducted by Nicholas Collin. And I'm hoping to catch up with all the winners and find out more about their pieces. And we'll also be dropping in on the composition, improvisation and electronic workshops that have been buzzing with activity all day.
All right, now we're going to have the chorus. All right, here we go at H. Yeah, but no, look at clusters, not chords. You know, nice, tight cluster. Okay, here we go.
Now, we've just moved across to the Britain Theatre at the Royal College of Music, where they have a contemporary composition workshop at the moment, which is being run by Stephen Montague in the theatre. Now, Stephen, I suppose one of the most interesting things for you is that you never quite know who's going to come along and what sort of material you're going to have to work with in terms of the players.
Indeed, that is. It's quite terrifying, you know, when you try to put together something that will fit with, if you have 20 flutes and one oboe, or no flutes and no oboes, no clarinets. So it's an open score kind of skeletal piece in which a large part of it is their input into the compositional issues that are facing them in this piece.
So there's a lot of freedom for the players. You can see from the score, there's lots of sort of blanks and X's and wiggly lines, so there's lots of freedom for improvisation.
Sure, and it's to try to get something that has an interesting shape, that has some forward drive, but doesn't enslave them in notes that they may or may not be able to play. So we have sort of grade 2 players, a couple of people that don't read music, and grade 8 players, and so it's a wide variety, which is always a challenge for every composer to write something that has the full spectrum of possibilities.
And you'll have got quite a few players that won't have done anything like this before. This, I think, most, do you feel the sort of newness of it as it sort of creeps up on them, exactly what they have to do?
Well, I did a little chart as to what an arrowhead means, play any high note or any low note, and yes, most of them have not encountered this. So, one of the questions this morning was, which any high note? I said, it doesn't matter. So, well, a B flat? I said, that's fine. How about if I played an A? Of course, you know, and this concept is so alien that any high note actually is any high note, folks.
And Stephen, I couldn't help noticing that there was a certain amount of Prokofiev in there. Obviously, Romeo and Juliet's a bit of a starting point for it.
The piece is based on the Prokofiev. So the opening passage that I have put into this score is from the Montagues and Capulets in the beginning of Suite 2. And I've taken that as a kind of a launch pad for having other gestures that are Prokofiev-like and some of the rhythms and so forth. So it's easily identified as something that is akin to the Romeo and Juliet that they will hear this evening at the prom.
My name is Buki Bayode and I play the flute. I just finished my grade 5 like a couple of months ago. I live in southwest London in Stockwell.
Have you ever done anything like this before? Is this the first time for you?
Yeah, the first time. I've never done anything like this.
Tell me something about the piece you've been rehearsing.
It's called Where's Juliet? It's nice, but it's very peculiar because the conductor asks us to play like random notes at sometimes. And like usually in an orchestra, the instrumental people wouldn't really be using their voices, but we're saying stuff like shh, we're making noises as well.
So you're getting involved in the process of creating the piece, yeah, in a way you wouldn't normally in the orchestra.
Yeah, it's quite a free
piece.
Yeah, so we've got to add stuff to it.
And what's been the most interesting thing about the whole experience?
Playing different things. I don't really like play stuff like this. And it's quite fun just experimenting with other people. Yeah, it's really nice. It's really good.
The first piece we're going to hear from the Proms Inspire Young Composers Concert won the junior competition. It's by George Rimmer from Manchester. George, how old are you?
I am 17 at the moment, but when I wrote the piece, I was 16.
Right, and the title, I think I know this.
Arkansas Chugabug 8.
It's Wacky Races, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's Wacky Races.
So it's that classic kids cartoon, the Hanna-Barbera one.
Yeah, I've always loved it. So, yeah, it's been one of my favourite cartoons as I've been growing up. And I thought, well, it would be cool to write some music about the things that I like. And it is one of them, so.
And did it actually start with the cartoon itself? Was that the direct inspiration?
No, the first inspiration was more of like the textural things of the piece. I saw a collage by the artist Barry Reigate, RSVP, in the Saatchi Gallery. And I kind of linked together the cartoonist style, the collage he's got, with the cartoon that I like, and then tried to extrapolate this and make it a musical idea. So it's not supposed to be programmatically about the car, it just is based around the car.
But if you know Wacky Races and you've seen the Arkansas Chug-a-Bug 8, what should we listen out for? How have you actually sort of written that into the music?
Well, there's a big section in the middle where it breaks down. After the huge big crash, they've got all synchronized chords together, all playing at once, and it all just stops. And it's like the engine's trying to start again with this kind of it doesn't quite make it till it kicks into action and starts again. I've used like this idea of car horns as well later on, where you have the oboe playing yada, yada, and it just gets faster and faster, as if a car in the distance is catching up on them. I noticed this after writing the piece. It wasn't actually intentional that it sounded like this, but it came out like that.
What's it been like having it performed by the Aurora Orchestra?
Oh, it's fantastic. I couldn't have asked for anything better. It was absolutely amazing. Wonderful experience.
Good day.
More than a good day. A lot more than a good day. It's fantastic. Best day of my life so far.
Thank you.
Arkansas Chuggabug 8 by George Rimmer, inspired by a collage of cartoon imagery, including the legendary Wacky Races. And George was the junior winner of the BBC Inspire Young Composers competition. I've just been listening to an improvisation workshop, or the results of an improvisation workshop, and I'm joined by James. And James, what were you actually playing in this?
We were doing lots of improvisation, and we were using an excerpt of a score, and we were playing bits of that and with improvisations in between.
And how did it actually start? Because I'm always interested, when somebody says an improvisation workshop, I mean, everybody comes in, you've not met each other before, a lot of you. You're all playing different instruments at different levels. Yeah. How do you all actually begin the workshop?
Well, first of all, he talks to you about what we're going to be doing, sort of improvisation and the looking at the different scores. Then he sets up a drum and bass riff, and then he adds on different instruments, doing different things. And then he cuts off certain instruments, puts some back until he comes up with a good combination. And then he can keep that and put it in at any time he wants.
So you're sort of working on blocks of sound that you can all drop in whenever you get the signal from Peter. Have you ever done anything like this before?
No, it's completely new to me. I'm usually playing stuff written down on a score, and it's completely new. It's nothing unlike anything ever.
Have you enjoyed it? Would you do it again?
Yes, definitely. It's great fun, yeah. Being able to create different sounds that you would never normally be allowed to play. Like using the stand for your instrument, hitting against it, and using it as a mute.
So Peter Weigold, you were in charge of everything. How do you actually run an improvisation workshop like this?
What I always say is you have to get, like in jazz, you have to get the bass and drums tight before you put saxophone solos on. So the most important thing is to do really simple things at the beginning, like getting rhythms together, getting people cross rhythms, heard as cross rhythms. So you've got to get the band clicking, or even just a high trilly avant-garde texture. But you've got to get all the ears in so they all know their part in a certain texture or sound. And then you've got a kind of virtuous situation where they've all heard it work and then it kind of grows on it. So you have to ground it to start with.
And you've got one or two sort of seasoned pros to get things started off.
Yeah, I've got my own ensemble, Noti Nigal, three of them. So they can do a great bass line or a great guitar riff, and that certainly helps.
So you've got your foundation, but then you've also got this bunch of children of various ages who coming in with all kinds of instruments, all kinds of experience, completely different kinds of enthusiasms.
Yeah.
Do you ever have any idea what's going to happen?
No. Well, only in the broadest terms, like I will start with ground and then follow what comes. But, you know, there was a viola player there who was great, who looked at me at one point, and that meant he wanted to do something. And in the middle of a very tonal bit, he did a scratchy noise, and it was brilliant. So then we all went scratchy. So I wasn't expecting a viola to make a scratchy noise in the middle of a very tonal bit. So my job really is to spot people who are ready to do something and then follow them or work with them when they do it.
It's time to meet our second winner now. This is 17-year-old Hannah Dilk. She's one of the two winners of the senior category. And Hannah, it sounds as though you're already a pretty experienced composer. You've had pieces performed in quite a number of circumstances. The Smith Quartet, you have something played in Berlin by a saxophone quartet. How long have you been doing this?
Literally only since the beginning of college. It was due to all the opportunities I've had with my college and my music department there, so I must thank them, obviously, that we've had the chance to write for all these fabulous like groups and things. It's just been amazing.
Now, I can't think offhand of another piece inspired by Spike Milligan. Tell us about your two nonsenses.
To begin with, it was just a little bit of an exercise, and we had an ensemble going at college called the Composers Ensemble. And I was like, oh, I could just write a piece for that. Let's see what happens. And I thought, well, I'd been having a couple of composition lessons and we'd been looking at Walton's Facade. And I thought, why don't I write a piece like that, but a little bit more wacky, suited to Spike Milligan's poetry. And it's all a bit mental, which is reflected in both the words and in the music, I think. And it's just wonderful to hear it played like that.
Well, I know Ning Nang Nong, Where the Cows Go Bong, and that's a great sort of noise opportunity. But what's Bongaloo?
Bongaloo is even more nonsensical than Ning Nang Long. It's like a father and son relationship where this boy asks his dad, "What is a bongaloo, daddy?" And the father replies, "A bongaloo, son," said I, "is a tall bag of cheese plus a Chinaman's knees and a leg of a nanny goat's eye." And you're just a bit like, looking at those words, you're like, okay, he's completely off his rocker. What's he gonna say next? And I was just like, I just wanted to reflect it as much as possible in the music. And so, of course, I've got really comical bits, like in the trombone, glissandos all over the place. And then I've got other instruments doing things which aren't really suited to them. Like I've got oboes playing things that saxophone should be playing.
Said I, it's a tall bag of cheese plus a Chinaman's knees and the leg of a nanny goat's eye. Strange, I replied. When the sun's in the west, it appears in a vest, sailing out on the noonday tide. What shape is a bongaloo, Daddy? The shape, my son, I'll explain. It's tall around the nose, which continually grows in the general direction of Spain. Are you sure there's a bongaloo, Daddy? Am I sure, my son, said I? Why, I've seen it, not quite, on a dark, sunny night. Do you think that I'd tell you a lie? Jabba Joo. On the Ning Nang Nang, all the mice go clang, and you just can't catch them when they do. So it's Ning Nang Nong, cows go bong nong, nang ning, trees go ping nong, nang nong, mice go clang. What a noise it makes today! It's the Ning Nang
Two Nonsenses by Hannah Dilks, Spike Milligan's nonsense poetry, given a whole new context by one of the senior winners of the Proms Inspire competition. Well, backstage here at the Royal College of Music, I'm with Anna Meredith, not that ancient a composer herself, I have to say. Anna, you're one of the judges on the judging panel for this competition process. You've been working today with the National Youth Orchestra's Creative Hub. Now, you better explain to us exactly what it is, first of all. How does it work?
So the Creative Hub is our name for the composition, the creative aspect of the National Youth Orchestra, which runs alongside the main orchestral course. So myself and my colleague Larry Goves both have been going to courses in the winter and spring and summer where six young composers have been working and rehearsing and trying and experimenting alongside the main orchestra, and we've been looking at all sorts of different compositional things. So for the players, this has been, I suppose, our final performance of our show, which is the deleted scenes from Romeo and Juliet, where we've been our brief to the composers was to write a very short piece about an idea from the original Shakespeare that Prokofiev didn't do.
So what kind of deleted scenes were the composers coming up with? That sounds pretty interesting.
For example, one of our composers, Ben Weatherfield, has written these pieces about a very minor character, Benvolio, who is quite often taunted by Mercutio for getting into fights, which Ben found a bit weird because in the play he actually seems like a bit of a pacifist. So Ben had this idea that maybe in a past life, Benvolio had been a bit of a rude boy who'd like to stir up lots of trouble. So he's written five little miniatures, five quarrels, which just imagine these fights that Benvolio might have got into.
Back to the Proms Inspire competition winners concert. The other winner in the senior category is Jack Sheen. Now, Jack, I gather you're about to take the plunge and become a full-time composition student?
Yeah, full-time composition student at the Royal Northern College of Music. I'm going to be studying on the joint course, hopefully, if I get the grades.
And you've already been a composer for the National Youth Orchestra.
Yeah, it's been brilliant. It's been really, really inspiring to be able to work with the players. It's definitely been the most rewarding thing that I've.
And it's a pretty big orchestra to have at your disposal
as well.
Oh,
yeah. There was one day where we had 10 minutes each for the with the full orchestra, which is 175 of them, so that was mind-blowing. Yeah.
Well, your winning piece is called Aviaries. So was the starting point the birds, or did avian ideas come into it later on?
No, it's the complete opposite, actually. It was titled after after it was finished. And I just thought the title suited the music quite well. There's lots of safe, self-contained, little, almost chambers of quite cacophonous movement, and I thought that suited the image of lots of birds taking off and creating a sort of a visual cacophony themselves.
So no point listening for birdsong?
Definitely no birdsong in that. It's much more sort of visual in a way.
And what was the actual starting point for the piece? There's a lot of sort of ethereal harmonics and things
like
that in it as well.
100%. Well, it was originally a one movement quartet which was going to be workshopped, so I had a lot of license to really experiment and kind of go wild, and that's definitely the route that I wanted to go down. Textually, so I just sort of took that to its logical conclusion. It's quite extreme, and I would say about 98% of that is harmonics, and that was something which was really, really encouraged. So I was really encouraged to do by the quartet workshop that they said, you know, it's really, really exciting when we get these sort of pieces, but we just want more and more and more, just take it to real extremes, and that's what I did.
Thank you. aviaries, the sound of birds taking flight in the string quartet by Jack Sheen, played by members of the Aurora Orchestra. And that's the other piece that won in the senior section of the Proms Inspire Composition Competition. Well, if I'm slightly out of breath, it's because we've just sprinted up to the very top of the Royal College of Music. We're under the eaves here, with the roof timbers above us, and surrounded by laptops, electronics, computers, mixing desks, and it's the 21cc workshop. Now, exactly what's been going on?
My name's Max. What looks like the very best music mixing technology money can buy. You know, everything you sort of need to get loads of musicians in one place at one time and make a good bit of electronic music. So we've got laptops, we've got pads to play musical samples. What we've been doing is we've been taking samples from various musical sources and using sort of a song from Romeo and Juliet as a baseline. We've been making what's called a Romeo and Juliet mashup, in which we just take lots of the samples from different sources and we play them and sequence them to make an overall really big song.
I'm Zach and I'm here with the 21cc as well.
Now, have you done this kind of thing before? Are you an old hand at using some of this kind of equipment and manipulating samples?
I just finished my A-level in music technology and I'm planning to do a degree in composition and
so
technology.
You're right at home here, but what have you must have been working with a lot of people who actually haven't experienced this kind of thing before. You've got a real mixture of people.
Yeah, it's quite nice to see people's fresh new ideas on stuff that I'm already comfortable with, to see their take on it and how they use it creatively.
Is it making you think differently about the music sometimes?
Yeah, definitely.
As well? What sort of instruction set did you have when you sat down? Because you've only got, 40 minutes to create something, haven't you?
No, well, I was quite comfortable with software called Cubase, which is similar to the software I'm using today. So it's just sort of finding my feet, really.
And elements of live performance involved as well. So you're actually using some of the young musicians we've got here on their own instruments.
Yeah, we used these pads with the different buttons on, which trigger different sounds. So we were all sort of making our own sounds using that, per se. And we also had live instruments that were mic'd up as well.
And how would you describe the piece you ended up with?
It was an electronic sort of remix of Prokofiev's Romeo and Juliet. I think if he were alive today, pretty similar to what he would have imagined it to sound like.
Some of the sounds of one of the best equipped electronic toy shops I think I've ever seen. That's the BBC's 21st Century Classroom, 21cc, put through its paces by the Proms Inspire Days young composers, who've spent the day exploring and experimenting in all kinds of new ways, as we've been hearing. Our very best wishes to all of them for the future. And as well as the competition winners we've already played you, the Inspire Days concert included the highly commended runners-up. If you keep your ears open, you may hear some of them around the prom broadcasts on Radio 3. And as a taster, we thought we'd end our Proms Inspire Day with a collage of our own.
Collage of the highly commended pieces from the BBC Proms Inspire Young Composers competition. They were played by the Aurora Orchestra, the singer was Laurie Lixenberg and the conductor Nicholas Collon, and those performances were recorded last Saturday at the Proms Inspire event at the Royal College of Music in London. The report was by Andrew McGregor, and you may like to know we'll be broadcasting some of those works complete when we have time to spare after the Proms concerts over the next few weeks, so do keep an ear out for them. Here on BBC Radio 3, we're about to go live to the Royal Albert Hall for the second of tonight's proms, some of Ennio Morricone's most popular film scores, played by the Spaghetti Western Orchestra. We'll be going to the Royal Albert Hall in just a few minutes. So, in the meantime, more piano music by Philip Glass. Here, Bruce Brubaker is playing Metamorphosis 3. Thank you. That was Bruce Brubaker playing Metamorphosis 3 by Philip Glass. This is BBC Radio 3. It's now 20 past 10. At a quarter to midnight tonight, Marianne Kennedy introduces this week's World on 3. But now, a few minutes later than advertised, from the stage of the Royal Albert Hall here in London, here's Charles Hazlewood with the second of this evening's proms.
Once upon a time in the West, five intrepid musicians, spurred on by their passion for the film music of Ennio Morricone, came up with a completely new and unclassifiable form of entertainment. They've taken these epic soundtracks and given them new life through a cocktail of conventional and frankly bizarre instruments. And for no more, really, than a fistful of dollars, they are here tonight at the proms. They are, ladies and gentlemen, very good. Some of them may be a little bad, but they're definitely not ugly. I give you the Spaghetti Western Orchestra.
Once upon a time in the West, there were a fistful of men. Men whose only wish was for a long life in the magical world of Italian westerns. But their efforts were destined for the cutting room floor. Celluloid lives cut short by a ruthless Italian director. Through the music of Maestro Ennio Morricone, these restless souls are on a sonic journey, and they're still looking for their man.
What are you folks looking at? Pardon me.
Thank you. Much ado about nothing. It is indeed my great pleasure.
pleasure to present to you the bank teller. Truly, the storyteller, the Spaghetti Western Orchestra! This might be the last tune you'll ever hear.
Thank you. Well, there you are. The Spaghetti Western Orchestra with their take on Ennio Morricone's score to Farewell to Cheyenne, featuring that extraordinary lead guitar solo, literally a tin can, a stick and a bit of string and rather too much of a fuzz box.
Come back and fight.
You pay for this.
Hijo de puta.
Thank you.
Morricone medley there. Music from A Fistful of Dollars, Valkyries, and For a Few Dollars More. Right, well, no classic Western, but we complete now without a classic barroom scene. And if you've got beer bottles and you're the Spaghetti Western Orchestra, well, I guess you're here.
Gentlemen, I'm looking for a man. He goes by the name of Bob Robertson. That's Bob Robertson. Huh? Mister, I know Bob.